Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
People connect, families grow, lives are changed. People connect, families grow, lives are changed.
Well, man, Faith Church is just growing and blowing like crazy. Every time we turn around, we open up a new campus. We opened up another service. Somebody's like, what are your service times? I'm like, I don't know. I need to check the internet because we added 12 since yesterday. And I get online and, man, growing as fast as we are, we have to grow like our staff team really bad and grow our support systems and grow those people who are holding up mine and Pastor David's arms. And so we interview like crazy. And so we've been down at our Florida campus and we were interviewing this precious person, and man, they've been working with us and they've been showing up and they've been faithful and they are skilled and they are talented. And that's like the biggest thing that Pastor Dave and I are praying for right now is, God, send the people to help us. God, we need this so bad. If we're going to grow anymore, we got to have this peace. And we just know that God had answered our prayers. And man, we're driving to the interview and we're going to offer them a job. We're just like, woo, our blessing has come. This is it. We're going to grow some more. And on the way there, there was just this little bitty kind of like, right down and kind of like in our belly. It's that moment when you know you could have it if you want it, but then if you get it, you're going to wish in a little while that you hadn't. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, God, I am frustrated. I am aggravated. What is going on? We really need this. We're in this dry season. And he revealed to my heart, he said, those people are good, but those people are a placeholder. Stay in relationship with those folks as a placeholder, because just because it's good does not mean that it is God for your life and for Faith Church. So I want to ask you a few questions. I want to ask you maybe, how many of you are not where you used to be, but you're not quite where you want to be yet? That is about everybody in the building. How many people, God has done an obvious work in your life? He has saved you from something. He has blessed you from something. You missed the car wreck. You got that thing you were praying for. One last question. How many believe that God is doing something in your life right now, and you are not there yet, but you are waiting and you are believing? I believe in that moment, in that season, while we are waiting and believing, sometimes it's a placeholder. Sometimes it's something that we choose. Sometimes it's something that God sends for us to hold on to with our faith until the real thing gets here. And other times it feels like a desert in our life. And I was asking Pastor Dave, I was getting ready to preach, and I was like, hey, sweetie, I would like to use a story of the guy I dated before I met you. And he's like, sure, baby, you use that story as long as it's bad. And I said, but baby, this is a good story, but I'd still really like to use it. And he said, you can use the story because I got you, babe. He did not win. So I was dating this guy before Pastor David, and it was way back in the way back. And I had started a new job. And this first week of my job, I had to go to Boston for training for a week. I was moving out of the house I was renting on that weekend into a new apartment. And then I started my new job on Monday, and I was stressed out. And I just want to let you know that stressed, spelled backwards, is desserts. And that's why we crave chocolate in those times. Because it's a Jesus. Oh, thank you for chocolate in Jesus' name. You notice everything sounds holier when you say in Jesus' name. Thank you for chocolate in Jesus' name. Now chocolate is holy and we can eat it. So I get this page while I'm out of town, because back in the day you had pagers. You didn't text. And I got this number and I gave him a call, and he said, hey, would you FedEx me the key to your apartment? I thought it would be a nice gift for you to clean your carpets before you move in. I'm like, oh, you are so sweet. Sure. I send it off to him. Friday night, I fly into town late, and he's nice enough to pick me up from the airport, and he says, hey, before I drop you off at your house, would you like me to run you by your new apartment to check it out so you know what you're moving into tomorrow? Oh, great idea. Let's do that. I get my key back from him. I open the door. I walk in, and the entire apartment has been moved into. They packed up my boxes. They moved my boxes. They lugged my piano up to the second story. They set it down. They unpacked the silverware and put it in the drawer. They washed the plates and put it in the cabinet. They put all the little knickknacks on the coffee table. I opened the door and I was completely moved in. And it was at that moment in my head I was saying, dear God, tell him to take a knee right now. He doesn't need a diamond. A bread tie will do. Just have him ask that one little question, because before he asks, the answer is yes. Right? I was ready for a nice guy in my life. And especially coming out of, I had come out of an abusive relationship. The number one thing I had been praying for was a nice guy. And I get into that space and I'm like, God, how come the nice guy doesn't ask? How come the jerk asks and I say yes, but the nice guy just won't ask? I mean, I want this guy in my life. And God sent me to just do some reflecting on my own. And this was actually a time in my life when God was drawing me closer to Him. I started going to church twice on Sundays. I was reading my Bible more, which now I know God was molding me and preparing me to marry some kind of preacher in my life, some boy I was just getting ready to meet. But I hadn't yet. And I was saying, God, why isn't this good enough? And what he thought is, hey, that guy really likes sports and you don't like sports. And it's always going to be a bone of contention. He likes to spend a lot of time with his friends, like 6 days a week and 1 day a week with you. And you like to spend 6 days a week with him and 1 day with friends. Eventually, your grace for the relationship is going to run out and it's going to turn to gravel in your mouth. And just because it looks good right now, it doesn't mean that it's God. Amen. And what I was trying to do is I was trying to see with my natural eyes, but 2 Corinthians 5:7 says to walk by faith and not by sight. We like to deal with what we can see. God, that job is on Monster. I'm claiming it. Uh-huh, it's mine. God, I like that man over there. It don't matter that he's married. He looks good. It don't work it out, Jesus. What you got to do, I'll go ahead and take it. Oh, God, I want that house. I know somebody is living in it. It's not for sale, but I'm just going to claim it as mine. We walk by the things that we can see, but God can see so much further and so beyond what we can see ourselves. He's like, y'all, you're looking with your natural eyes and you can only see to the back of the room. I can see all of eternity and around the corners that you don't even know exist yet. So God is working on pulling things into existence for us. But we're so silly. We're praying for a boy that's not right for us. Because how many of you know, as good as he was and as nice as he wasn't my baby. He fits my hand like a glove. He is my man. He loves to be with me 7 days a week. We work together. We live together. We preach together. And I wouldn't be on this stage today if God had given me what I wanted instead of me taking what God wanted. We spend our time trying to put square pegs in round holes. And we're like, why won't it fit? Why won't it go in? And you know, when I was a little kid in the nursery at church, a little church baby, we used to sing songs like, the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. And the rain comes a-tumbling down. For those of you who don't know the song goes on, rain comes down, the flood comes up, and the foolish man's house goes splat. How many of you know splat does not sound like happily ever after? I want some happily ever after in my life. Even in there might be a desert time, there might be some work that God has to do on me, there might be some work that God has to do around me, but I'm looking for the happily ever after. But we get caught up in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows, it's wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against that house, it won't collapse. You know, sometimes we think when we become a Christian that God builds this little wall around us and we walk through life with all sunshine and rainbows in Jesus' name, and that makes it sound holy. But God doesn't say it's all sunshine and rainbows. That scripture says the wind's going to come and floods are going to come. But here's the deal. If you build your house on the rock, if you build your house on the chief cornerstone, if you build Jesus on, if you build your life on his word, you build your life on Jesus, you're going to stand no matter what comes along. But those who build their house on the sand, it says, but everybody say, but. And sometimes you got to get your butt out the way. Anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey, it's foolish, like a person who builds their house on the sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it's going to collapse with a mighty splat. It says crash, but the song says splat. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't want no splat. God did not create us to live in the desert. He did not create us to build our house on the sand. He created us to pass through the desert. But I've been there before, and I've tried to build a house in the sand. But the thing is, it doesn't fit. It's kind of like when I go diving. I've been down there and I've seen fish and their little fins go this way like Nemo. I've seen weird fish that look like pancakes and their only fins are on the top and the bottom. I've seen big manta rays go like this, and I've seen moray eels that look like snakes and they freak me out. I've seen seahorses that are boy seahorses and they have babies, which will never ever work in the human race. Boys just gonna have that. But I've never ever seen a fish with feet. These feet are a size 9. They're not so pretty, but they have birthday toenail polish on them. Never saw a fish with feet. They've got lungs and or they've got gills and fins. Why? They were created to live there. I was not created to live there. I have feet. And have you ever gone snorkeling? Well, the first thing they do is they put big fins on you and give you a little tube to stick out of your mouth so we can get in their space and we can pass through their space and we can enjoy their space, but we were not created to live in their space. We were created to live on this land. So we're trying to live in a desert life that we think we want and God knows better. And God's like, you were not created to exist. You were not created to live. I didn't give you the gear and the equipment for the sand. I gave you the gear and the equipment for my promised land. And that is where I'm calling you to go. And here's the kind of things we do. Pastor Dave and I were going to buy our second house. We lived in neighborhoods. We were done with people. We had horses. We wanted space. We wanted grass. And we are looking forever, and we cannot find a house. We finally find this house on 3 acres. And there's a neighbor to the right and a neighbor to the left, and it's kind of sandwiched in. It doesn't even have a basement. In St. Louis, we have basements, and we can put all our junk in there. House was like 30-something years old. It had burnt orange carpet. It had an almond green stove and this kind of goldenrod yellow refrigerator. And it was horrible. It needed to be gutted. And I'm sorry if I just explained your kitchen. It needed all this work. And we put a contract in on it. It was available. It was solid. This contract was good. But there was some kind of hustle going on. How many of you know when you are being hustled? All of a sudden, this side contract comes up, and the real estate agent, who was a selling agent, is also the buying agent on this one, and somehow we get bumped out, and I start getting mad, and I start wanting to call attorneys, and I start complaining to God, and I start decreeing and declaring, God, this is our house. Give us this house. We've looked so far for this house, and it doesn't work out, and I am mad. You ever get mad when you don't get what you want? I'm so glad y'all are holy, man. The last service, they're like, no. I'm like, oh, yes, you do. You get mad when you don't get what you want, because I can tell you that, because you go to Walmart, there are 27 checkout lanes. One of them is open. There are 14 people in that line, and the checkout lady, it's her first day. Y'all know how to get mad. So Pastor David, he's riding his motorcycle because that's the kind of man he is. He likes things with motors, and that's why I go vroom, vroom in Jesus' name. And he sees a sign. He's being led of the Holy Spirit. He sees a for sale sign, and he goes at this house. It doesn't have 3 acres. It has 9 acres. It has land available for sale next door that we bought later on. It isn't a 30-something-year-old house. It is a brand new house, never been lived in. Brand new cabinets, brand new carpets, brand new floors. Everything is shiny. Everything is brand new. And I start thinking, God, I thought I wanted that 30-year-old house with no basement on 3 acres, and you had better plans for me. But again, walk by faith and not by sight. That's what I could see right now. 8 years later, that house we paid $165,000 for, we sold for almost $1 million. That's the kind of blessing only God can do. That's the kind of blessing only God can see. Only he knows that this land over here is going to go up in price value like that. Only he knows if you buy now, sell later. If you just stay, if you'll just listen to me, if you'll seek me, I will lead you to a blessing beyond your comprehension. It'll boggle your mind. People think we're like land barons. Now we're like, no, we're just led by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Israelites, they're so much like us. You know, they got out of Egypt. They were in this land where they were abused. They were over here and they were crying out to God. And God takes them through a desert, and it's an 11-day journey. Everybody say 11 days. You could walk for 11 days if you were going to your promised land, if you were going to the land of blessing. If they told me, hey, you're being abused over here, but if you walk for 11 days, you're not going to have to work hard. The land is going to flow with milk and honey. They're going to pay you $250,000 a year. They're going to give you grapes and donuts the size of a man's head you can eat and never get fat, and it's going to be awesome. I would put on my Nikes. I would put on my spandex. I would double time it and be there in 4.5 days. But somehow they got caught up. You see, they left Egypt where they were crying out, and they got into the desert. And they were just moving, and it was hard. And they're like, Moses, and they were grumbling, and they were complaining. It says in Numbers, it says, all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. You see, as God's taking us through to our promised land, sometimes we have to go through a few things that we're not completely just 100% okay with. And we start complaining about the process. We start complaining about this isn't the right guy, or this isn't the right job, or this isn't the right house. We start thinking that we know better than God knows. And we start grumbling, and we start getting upset. And God is in heaven losing his cool with us, thinking, hey, why don't you guys just trust me? Why don't you have faith in my process? God's in heaven thinking, I have so much good for you. And the truth of the matter is, he shows himself strong towards us all the time. Because God never ever leaves you, even when you are in the desert. Miraculous things happen in the desert. Miraculous things happened for the Israelites. Miraculous things were happening for you. And miraculous things happen for me. I remember being 5 years old, and I did something wrong, probably messing around at the dinner table, wouldn't eat my food, and so my mama just sent me outside with no supper. So I go out, and I get in my sandbox, and I get my little play pie plate, my little play dishes, and I'm making my little sand dinner. My husband always tells me now, well, that's where you got it from, because your food tastes like sand when you cook. Then when he asked me, what are you making for dinner, I said, reservations, baby, you know I can't cook. And as I'm in the sandbox in the backyard, my friend comes home. And we didn't have money when I was a kid. We couldn't get things like Dairy Queen or go out to eat. And she came home with Dairy Queen. I said, Dawn, that looks so good. What is that? She said, it's Dairy Queen. I said, I didn't have dinner. And she came up to me in the fence. She said, come here. She took a spoonful of her Dairy Queen, stuck it through the chain link fence, and started feeding me her Dairy Queen through the chain link fence, sharing it with me. I'm here to tell you right now, when you have a need in your life and when things aren't working out and you're stuck in the sandbox, God's not going to bring you Braunschweiger and he's not going to bring you a bologna sandwich. God has the cream of the crop, and it can come in the form of Dairy Queen with hot fudge, whipped cream, and a cherry on top. And he will find a way to get it to you, even if it's spoon-fed through a chain link fence. Exodus 16:31, the people of Israel called the bread manna. It was like white coriander seed, and it tasted like wafers made of honey. You see, they're in there in their own sandbox. They're in the desert, and they're like, God, we don't have any food. He said, baby, I'm not going to just send you food. I'm going to send you Krispy Kremes for 40 years with all their perfect imperfections, and you're going to eat carbs for 40 years with no problem. I'm like, bring me the carbs with sugar. But they complained about it and said, God, we want meat. He's like, I can bring you meat and a million quail on the ground every night to feed them. But God, we need water. They strike the rock and a new spring comes up. God, we want more water. Strike the rock and more water comes up. I'm here to tell you right now, they were overlooking the miracles that God was doing in the moment. They weren't in the intended place. They weren't all the way to what God had for them. They weren't all the way to the promised land, but they were not alone. God did not leave them. God did not forsake them. He was moving on their behalf. He was doing miracles for them. And God is doing miracles for you right now, while you're in your desert. God is working on your behalf, and God is working in you. There was another desert that I went through in my life, and it was more of a like a spiritual desert. I was reading, but I just wasn't getting, you know, it wasn't juicy. I wasn't excited about it. I was praying, but I just wasn't thrilled, and it was kind of dry and kind of boring. And I knew I wasn't just right, so it was January, and we had a lake condo at that time. I said, I'm going to go down to the lake by myself and just get alone with God and see if I can figure this out. And I keep this prayer journal, and when I feel like God speaks to my heart, I write it down. And I really recommend that if you don't do that, start that, because years later, things come back to you. And it's really easy to share stories where you're the hero or where things come out okay, but it's hard to share stories when God is tweaking you up and asking you to do things. I said, I was at the lake alone, and God met me there. I was frustrated, distraught, and upset. David had told the staff to fast, which is give up food or sweets or soda or TV or something. And everyone was. But I felt that I didn't have to somehow. God asked me if I thought I was above everyone else. I immediately said, no, sir. And I went to the refrigerator and started throwing out the food and the Chinese food, the pizza and the ice cream I had bought, and I threw it all away immediately. The temptation was to start tomorrow so that I didn't waste the food, but God didn't allow me to do that. You see, the temptation is, I'm going to stay in the desert just one more day. I mean, I can't waste the food, Jesus. I just need to stay here one more day. But I don't want to hurt their feelings, Lord. I know they're not good for me, but I'll just stay in here one more day because I can't hurt their feelings. But God, the job that you're asking me to step out for, I don't feel qualified for. So I'm going to stay in the desert one more day. But God, none of my friends go to church yet, so I'm not going to commit. I'm just going to stay in the desert one more day. We're sitting here trying to stay in the desert, and God is looking at us saying, would you please come out? Just listen. And I can tell you how to get out of the desert. It's a surefire way. It works every single time. You see, when you get close to God, you can hear his voice. Life is noisy and it is fast and there is a lot going on and we got a room and Zoom and take care of so many things that a lot of times God's time gets pushed out. And in our family, we call it either chair time or we call it quiet time. Me and Pastor Dave's spot is on the front porch. And there's a devotional that I'm in right now. It's called Jesus Calling. I think there's a few of them left at the source, and we've got some other ones. But this one, man, I've been really in it lately. And I don't read a book forward to back. I kind of pick it up, and I, like, one day I'll read February 22nd, another day I'll read July 2nd. And it just so happened a couple of days ago, I read April 12th. And I want to share it with you because God knew I was going to be talking about deserts. And if you guys would put it up there, the reason I put it up there is because you could read this in about 30 seconds if you wanted to. I think this one might have taken me 30 minutes. And I wanted you to see all my notes because sometimes it's not the words that are on the page that are important. It's the words that God will speak to you while you're reading the page. And those are the words that are really important. It says, trusting me is a moment-by-moment choice. People have not always understood this truth. After I performed the miracles in the wilderness, my children chose to trust me intensely. Trust is another word for faith. If you're going to have faith in God, you're going to trust God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without trust, it is impossible to please God. My children chose to trust me intensely, but only temporarily. Soon the grumbling began again and testing my patience to the utmost. Isn't it often the same way with you? You trust me or have faith in me when things go well. You see me working on your behalf, and this type of trust and faith, it just comes up readily within you. No exertion required of your will. But when things go wrong, when you're in that desert, your trust flow slows down and it solidifies. You're forced to choose between trusting and having faith in me intentionally or rebelling and resenting my ways with you. This choice constitutes a fork in the road. Stay on the path of life with me. Choosing to rebel and resent God, I have never intentionally chosen, like with my mind, I am going to rebel and resent God today. I never woke up with that in mind. But I have in life said, God, why not that guy? God, why not that house? God, why not that staff member? I mean, I really need this in my life right now. And God's sitting there going, why are you rebelling against my ways? I see what you can't see. I know what you can't know. I'm so much bigger than you are. Would you please quit rebelling and trust me? We only hear those things when we get quiet enough and close enough to him to allow him to speak it to us. But the great thing is when he does, God doesn't correct those that he doesn't love. He corrects those that he loves. And he corrects those so we stop heading down the wrong road in life. And so we can start getting on that right road. So we don't live and get stuck in the desert. But so we can not live in, but pass through that desert. And come out on the other side. And get into that promised land that he has promised you and you and you and you and you and you. And did you know that Moses, with the Israelites, did you know that he spent 40 years in a desert before he ever led the Israelites? You see, he had killed an Egyptian, and when he killed the Egyptian, he ran to the desert to hide. And here's the really cool thing. While he spent 40 years in the desert, he was alone, and that gave him time. It gave him time to be quiet, and it gave him time to get close to God, and it gave him time to learn his voice. And he learned God's voice, and God said, hey, if that guy knows my voice so well, he can lead my people out. You see, I got these people crying for help over here. I've been looking for a leader somewhere, and I just found my guy because he's getting close to me. So he approaches Moses, and he says to him in Exodus 3, he says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. I was abused in my marriage. Many of you, or maybe your body is abused by cancer, your finances have been abused by a layoff, or there's been abuse in your life. I want to let you know right now, God is saying, when you cry out in that abused place, I hear you, and I am working on your behalf. And watch how God is working on the Egyptian for the Egyptians, and they don't even know. He said, Moses, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, but who am I to appear before Pharaoh, and who am I to lead the people of Israel out? And this right here, if you're wondering, why am I in that desert so long? Why am I in that situation so long? Because God is working with people like Moses. He's working with people like me. He's working with people like you. He's working with people like the people who live in your house need to move. He's working with people like your boss who's driving you crazy who he's trying to move. He's working with people who you want to buy your car and he's getting them to move. He's working with people, and we don't always listen. And God says to Moses, I will be with you. You would think that would be all that it takes when God says those words to you. But listen how Moses answers, because we would answer the same way. But Moses says, okay, God, if I go to the people of Israel, God just told you to go himself in a burning bush. And you're saying, if? What else do you need? But God works miracles for all the time for us, and we're still saying, if. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you. They're going to ask me, what's his name? What am I supposed to tell them? See, that's what we want to know. If I start going to church all the time, what am I supposed to tell my friends? If I quit partying, what am I supposed to tell my friends? If I start tithing, what am I supposed to tell my friends? If I join an iConnect and I go to church and an iConnect, how am I supposed to tell my friends? They're going to call me a Jesus freak. And God is in heaven going, you're worried about what Bubba's going to say about you? Really? And God answers him, and I want to submit to you, this is the answer that God has given to you today. God replies to Moses, I am who I am. He said, say this to the people of Israel, and you are the people of the Israel. You are his chosen children. You are his chosen generation. You are his royal priesthood. You are his peculiar people. You are the ones set apart. You are the ones who came to hear his word today. God is saying to you today, like he said to them, you tell them, I am has sent me to you. And say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, God has sent me to you. And I'm here to tell you that God, in my quiet time, he talked to me about deserts, and he sent me to you today. And he said, hey, they're wallowing around in this sand over here, and they don't know how to get out. I want you to point them out, and I want you to tell them, get in my word, get close to me. I'm speaking direction to them. They think the good is okay, and it's not the God. And God in heaven is saying, I have the God for them, and it's not good. It's great. It's not okay. It's fabulous. It's not under. It is over. It is not going to get them by. It is going to get them blessed. God has great things ahead for each and every one of you. And he's working on it right this very minute. And I can tell you how you know when it's really close. As I close, when Austin was 9 years old, the PS2, PlayStation 2 was coming out. And it was October, and I was going to Walmart. It was about 9 in the morning. And as I'm walking in Walmart, there's these people in lawn chairs out front. And I'm not the kind of person who can just walk by and not ask the question. I had to say, what are you guys doing out here? And they said, PS2 is coming out. I'm like, that's cool. They're like, it's the only ones that are going to be sold before Christmas. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. I got to come back, and my son can go ahead and thank me today for being a good mama. I'm like, what? The only ones before Christmas? But it's 9 a.m., y'all. They sell them at midnight? And they said, yeah, and there's only 20 of them. I said, what am I going to do? And I couldn't get off work. I called my boss. So there's these students walking into Walmart. And I look at them, I say, hey, what are you guys doing today? And the one's like, well, I have one class. And the other one's like, I'm off today. I said, how'd you like to make $50? They said, $50, what do we got to do? I said, I got a lawn chair in my trunk. I'm just going to put my lawn chair right there. You just sit there till 11:30 tonight doing whatever it is you want to do. And at 11:30, I will show up and give you $50, and I'll sit in that lawn chair. They said, done. I am so glad that they didn't realize that they could have got the PS2, gotten on eBay, and sold it for $250. They were students. They hadn't graduated yet. They weren't that smart. So at 11:30 at night, I show up. And y'all remember, there were some DJs that used to be in St. Louis, Steve in D.C.? Well, D.C. was back here in line, and he was like number 21 or something. So when I start showing up to go collect my PS2, he got really mad. He's like, what is that lady going up there for? How come she's in line? She didn't wait in line all day. They did. She can't buy it. That's wrong. And he starts an uproar with all the people in the line. Everybody's throwing a fit. It's kind of like a mini riot. And the Walmart manager comes out and says, ma'am, what is it that you are doing here causing all this trouble? I told the manager what had happened, and he said, nope, that is absolutely fair. What you do is you give them the money. They buy the PS2. They can do whatever they want, which includes give it to you after they're done. So I got my PS2, which meant that this guy did not get his PS2. So I want to let you know, all these people grumbling and all these people complaining, and when you see people starting an uproar as you're heading up to receive your blessing, they're going to grumble and complain because they don't have the faith. They don't have the eyes to see. God's got plenty for everybody. Those who are not enlightened, they do not see. So when he gets his blessing over there, we ought to shout over here. And when you get your blessing, we ought to shout from the stage. And when you get your blessing over there, we should rejoice with you. And when you are going to God and he blesses you, and that is what he is intending to do right now, I am here to tell you, blessing is on the way, and God wants to bless you and give you favor and raise you up. And get this, he doesn't only want to bless you for you. He wants to bless you so you can lead other people out just the way Moses did. Was that okay for today? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like to ask just one question. If you believe that today's message was for you, if you've been in a desert, if you've been wondering what God's going to do, if you've been wondering how to get out of a situation, would you raise your hand so I know who it is I'm praying for? Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we trust you. And we know we can't see what you can see, but we believe in you. And God, thank you for increasing our faith. Thank you for putting wind in our sails today. And God, we believe you are opening doors that have previously been closed. And we believe that the flood of God's favor is coming in and overtaking our life. We believe that the overflow is coming and that we're not under, but we are above. And that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We believe that you are moving people out of the way and creating us to be leaders in life, leaders in the spiritual world, leaders in our community, leaders in our organization. And God, we receive it. And we're not going to take the good that we can see right now, but we will follow you to the God, to the above and the abundant that you have for us in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, will you say amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com.
People connect, families grow, lives change. People connect.